All right, NBA teams have to figure out who they are going to take into the bubble with them. They got to have their rosters figured out as soon as today. Joining us right now is ESPN front office insider Amin El Hassan. Amin, good morning. How are you?
What's up? Is Keyshawn already in Bristol, or is he there?
Uh-oh.
He's here.
Those are just rumors.
Right.
Say, those are rumors.
Say man.
Just rumors. All except for that press release sent by ESPN.
Say, man. Kill game, man. That ain't the topic of conversation. The Lakers are certainly facing. The Lakers are certainly facing a big task here if Dwight Howard does not decide to go into the bubble in Orlando. Amin El Hassan is joining us here on the morning show, aka the captain. Amin, what should the Lakers do if Dwight Howard does not accompany them to Orlando?
Man, I just wanted to know how your commute was going to go.
We have a presser.
Dwight Howard. Look, here's the deal. He was their best true big that they had on the roster. It is definitely going to be a punch in the gut. Like Avery Bradley, he was a productive member of the Lakers. But like Avery Bradley, if you're telling me is this going to be the reason why they don't win a championship, I don't think so. I think they still have enough to win a championship. For me, I feel like you're gonna have to depend on JaVale McGee a little bit more, which it can be a roller coaster. But then the other thing is Anthony Davis is going to have to put on his big boy pants and play a role that traditionally he hasn't enjoyed playing, which is playing center. And especially when you've added J.R. Smith, who's another big physical guard. You got Deion Waiters, you got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Danny Green and obviously LeBron. That's going to give them some flexibility to play some small ball lineups if Anthony Davis buys in. And look, you got to be our big because Dwight's not going to be there.
I do recognize that, you know, a lot of teams are treating today, according to Woj anyway, as like the deadline of all deadlines. But if it comes to a point in which the team ends up in Orlando and they need to bring in a big who obviously has to be quarantined for a couple of weeks before they can play, who is out there?
Oof, I mean, you're talking about slim pickings for real, because LZ, it's not just, is he a free agent? But you have to have been someone who either was in the NBA at some point this year or did not play professional basketball anywhere this year. And so I'll give you a great example. Greg Monroe, who had played in the league for, 9 years or whatever, last year did not play in the NBA, played in Germany. He has now been released by his German club. Greg Monroe, not eligible for this. So it really, it waters down what was already a thin crop out there. You think like Joakim Noah obviously coming to terms with the Clippers. I don't know. I almost feel like if you're the Lakers, you just kind of have to buckle down and go with who you got on the roster.
I mean, take me inside what that conversation's like as a front office person and having to have that conversation with a player. Obviously, this is a unique situation where you're going into a bubble and you're not able to kind of come and go as you please and maybe interact with the people that you want to interact with. But this is a guy that's dealing with the death of the mother of his child, the social situation that we're in the middle of. How do you have that conversation with him and try to convince him to come join the team without being insensitive to the issues?
You know, Travis, the closest thing I can give you to this example is in 2008, Amari Stoudemire in training camp got his eye poked out by Boris Diaw by accident in practice. I drove Amari for an hour and a half to basically get treated or whatever. And so me and Amari were in the car for 90 minutes talking. And what I told him was, take your time, man. Take your time. This is your eyesight. This isn't, you know, there is no pressure you can put on someone.
Where are you driving me?
Where the stakes are that high, right? So even though, like, one would think, I mean, you're with the team, wouldn't you be like, hey, man, you're going to be fine. You're going to be back out there in no time. But no, I did not do that. Instead, I was telling him about, like, this is really serious, man. You got kids. You want to be able to see them grow up and all that stuff. And so you got shit and you don't come back.
Is this why you got fired? Is this why they fired you?
No,
point shaving like that?
No, sir. This is when I worked for people who knew what they were doing.
Okay.
You know, like we could have another call about the people who didn't know what they were doing, who still don't know what they're doing. But that's another call. But the point being is you're asking me, Travis, how I would handle this situation. Mm-hmm. And this may not be how every front office guy does it, but for me, I would handle it with extreme empathy. You're not just talking about his feelings about social justice or his feelings about his trepidation about the virus. You're talking about someone who lost somebody, who lost the mother of one of his children. That's big time. That is real world stuff that, I'm sorry, our little fun and games down in Orlando don't measure up to, even if it means an NBA championship for a guy who's played 16 years and hasn't won one.
Yeah, yeah, no. And speaking of being in Orlando, and I don't know if the last time you were on with us we had this conversation, but I'm going to bring it up again because we had Stephen A. Smith on earlier with us, and he is to believe that people will try and escape the bubble to have a little bit of fun in the sun. I am of the belief that you can't possibly be that stupid to leave the bubble to go have fun in the sun when you know that the NBA is telling you not to do it, and you could jeopardize the shutdown of the league if you decide to go outside and come back contracting a virus that could potentially spread throughout the bubble.
Yeah, I've been talking about this on SiriusXM NBA for the better part of a month, basically since early June, since it looked like we were going to have a season. I'm like, yo, you're telling me that most of these guys are going to be done within 45 days or whatever it is. And I'm telling you that for a lot of these guys, they've never gone longer than 10 days without having sex since the age of 18.
Man.
So,
that's pretty specific.
Are we going to be honest about this? I'm being very generous when I say the age of 18.
Love analytics.
You being generous, you said 10 days. I was almost two weeks. I'm going to shut y'all down with that.
Because that's stereotyping, man.
Let me explain why. It's not stereotyping. I'm not talking about NBA players. I'm talking about, you got to think about like this, right? Let's take the example of a player who's happily married, who's faithful in his marriage, nothing untoward there, right? The longest he's away from his wife is probably going to be 10 to 12 days for a road trip. They never are that far away from their partner for longer than about 10 to 12 days, right? And that's if she hasn't flown out in the middle of the trip. Say, oh, you guys are in Miami this week, I'm coming out there. Oh, you guys are in New York, I'm coming out, right? So the idea that like somehow we're going to take these grown men who, again, they haven't been hurting in that category since they were probably like 18 or 19 years old. And then you tell them for 2 months, or for some of them, 3 months, you're not going to see any, you're not going to have those type of relations. I mean, it's a little myopic. Now, the other part of this is, there's a difference between who does it, right? Like, just using an example, I don't think I would see, for instance, Damian Lillard jeopardize this all, right? Were you telling me like Caleb Swanigan or Anthony Simons or one of the young dudes who doesn't even play that much, play sometimes? You think he's young, is going to have that same sort of maturity and that same sort of focus on like, look, we're here for something much bigger? I don't believe so. I'm not trying to pick on those guys in particular. I'm just telling you that the things that the vets and the guys on teams that are really on the cusp of championship will have patience for, a young player on Washington or Phoenix or Memphis may not have those same kind of priorities.
Maybe it's just our violent nature in terms of football, but if we had somebody on our teams that did something like that, he's going to have some real problems on his hand. Like, that's just – but maybe that's a football mentality.
Keith,
you know, if we were in a bubble and a dude jeopardized and left, we're probably going to have a problem with him.
I mean, two things. One, that's if he gets caught, right? Like, the idea is that people are going to try stuff because they think they're not going to be any kind of repercussions. The other thing to keep in mind here is that the idea of, you know, look, we've already seen it. You see how many teams are coming in and people, like, for instance, the Nets, Spencer Dinwiddie and DeAndre Jordan caught it, right? So the idea here is, and Spencer Dinwiddie is exhibiting symptoms. So basically this whole quarantine, he's been fine. He came in to get shots up at the facility and he caught it. So what does that tell you? It tells you that not everybody takes this thing seriously. And that's the thing that we've been trying to tell everybody. It's like, yo, the safest thing the way to approach this is to not have a season. But if you're going to have a season, this is the safest way to approach it. But you have to understand, now that we've opened that door a crack, it can be opened much more.
Amin El-Hassan joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. Amin, I don't know if you know that today is Bobby Bonilla Day, but it is. Today is the day he gets a million and change, July 1st from 2011 to 2035. How does a front office sign off on something like that, where you decide to pay a guy $30 million instead of six?
Well, two things. One, they don't have a salary cap in baseball, so spreading out payments ain't going to change anything for them. It's not like, oh, man, we're giving up that cap space. Obviously, in the NBA and NFL, we would never do that because we'd rather just like bite the bullet and get out of there than have this cap hit on your books forever. But the other part of it is, usually when you talk about a payment plan like that, that ain't a front office decision. That is the man who cuts the checks decision. And the man who cuts the checks might look at it as the time value of money, that $1 million, $30 million over 30 years is less expensive for him than $6 million of today money. And so, but again, that type of decision to me smacks of my owner wanted this to happen, because no front office wants to be associated with that kind of payment plan.
You certainly would hope so, that the CFO, I'm assuming, is the guy who's doing all of those sort of things, or the COO did not make the decision, but they had some financial issues. I think it's been the ownership group has changed hands multiple times in New York with the Mets, so they mm-hmm. had some cash issues. Apparently they was in the Madoff scam, so Who knows what went on, but it's still a great deal for him and a crazy deal for the Mets.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. If you're Bobby Bonilla, this is great. Like, some people say, oh, wouldn't you rather have the $6 million up front? You know, kind of like when you win the lottery.
No.
Like, they give you the lump sum of money, or they give you the payment plan. And
Think about it, though. Like I was telling the guys, I said, man, he can trick that million off in 12 months, and he could.
I got another one coming.
I got it coming till I'm 75 years old. I'm good. I'm gonna burn through this every year.
I don't know what he's doing with it, but I hope he's investing and he's doing stuff with it, because then it acts as a safety net, right? Like, I can be aggressive with some investments and maybe.
I'm sure he's doing whatever he's doing with it. The whole point is, he good till he's 75. At 75 years old, you don't need a whole lot, right? What you need at 75, other than you need you a nice house for the grandkids, you know, you might not be driving at that time. You take a few little trips. You might be at Palm Springs with Rogers playing a little golf, you know, that sort of stuff. That's pretty much Travis and you go down to Palm Springs, play old man golf with your sweater, you know, walk around the yacht clubs down in Orange County with your sweater tied around your shoulders, waving slow.
Is that you, Travis? Is that what you do?
Yeah, he's got me pegged. I got to tell you, I can't tell you how popular I am down at the yacht club. I'm a big hit down there.
So question, Keith, so are you going to be holding down the double tree, or are you going to have to move? Or how's that going to work?
Man, I have no idea what you are talking about. You know, I just
hope they gave you a kicker for having to deal with them winters.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm extremely happy working at 710 ESPN in Los Angeles. I enjoy my cast members, and that is all I have to say.
I didn't see that quote in the press release.
What are you going to do?
I'm just saying, man, you know how, like, sometimes, like news breaks in free agency that so-and-so has agreed to terms with this team. And then another report comes out like, no, he hasn't. And so that's what I feel like what we're doing right here. It's like, is Key really signing over there? Is he staying with his team? We'll find out, I guess.
Don't listen to rumors. That's all I'm going to tell you. Listen to rumors. If you didn't get it from me and you didn't hear it from me, don't listen to rumors.
Next week. At about 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're airing the decision part two. You can get all your answers there. We'll dust off Jim Gray, you know, Keyshawn will step in as LeBron James, and then, you know, we'll go ahead and do the thing.
Keith, you have an ugly shirt in your closet that you can.
All I'm going to say again to me is I understand what's out there. I know that people are saying certain things, but I am happy working at ESPN 710, okay, with Travis and LZ and Raj and Amanda and Chris Morales and Jorge. And I am enjoying the show, and I've been here 4 years. And that's about it. And I look to have many, many more years working at ESPN.
That's very nice,
Keith. I got to be honest really quick. I haven't been totally honest with you guys. The reason I'm asking so much, Keith, is like, I'm trying to figure out, like, is it going to be a spot open? Like,
so you want to know if Dwight Howard's going to go to Orlando, because if not.
LZ, I'll steal your line. I'm available, right? That's how it works. Amin El-Hassan, ESPN front office insider. Amin, good to talk with you. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
All right, guys.
I'm going to teach y'all how to answer questions in a press conference. That's what I'm going to teach y'all.
Bugs Bunny at first, Bugs Bunny at second.
There's nothing you can do. You can't do anything. There's nothing. We can't do. We couldn't throw. We throwing interceptions. It just, man.
Is that how you do it?
Is that how you answer questions, Key?
Yeah.
That's when you're a little mad.
All right. If he does, in fact, decide not to go to the Lakers, what does that mean for the championship run in Orlando? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So there's a deadline, LZ. Is that the best way of putting it, or is it kind of a pseudo deadline? Let me read what Woj wrote, that Wednesday is turning out to be a soft target date for players to opt out of Orlando unless they want to enter the process to be placed on the excused protected list to keep their salary. Teams are largely treating today as the deadline, which is when rosters of eligible players are due to the NBA, which sounds to me like Dwight Howard needs to make that decision today. Because if he doesn't, then that puts him into a separate category. And the Lakers need to have the answer to that question, right? I mean, it really deeply alters the way that they move forward in that bubble. With Dwight Howard, you have one plan. And without him, you need to come up with another one.
Well, I think that by now, I would think that the Lakers and Rob Pelinka and coaching staff have a pretty good idea of which way Dwight is headed. They're just not going to tell us right now.
Well, I understand that, but then the question becomes, are you satisfied with the big situation that you have, or is there one other body you want to bring with you just in case you need to break some glass? And, you know, the pickings are slim, and if you recall, when the Lakers got Dwight Howard, the pickings were slim then, too. Like, I was down for it. Key, I remember you were down for it. I think you were down for it as well, Travis. But a lot of people, when they heard Dwight Howard's name being brought in as a backup big, met it with a real kind of huge side eye. Like, that Dwight Howard? Now, obviously, it worked out, but the choices were Dwight Howard or Joakim Noah. Well, Joe is signed with the Clippers. So now it's like, if the pickings were slim at the beginning of the season with between Joakim Noah and Dwight Howard, just imagine what they're looking at now. So not only is the decision about whether or not Dwight Howard's going to play impact, obviously, Dwight Howard's future, but for the Lakers, they need to decide today if they need to try and kick one more tire, or they're just going to say, you know what, man, we're just going to roll with JaVale, AD, and if we have to, we'll play small ball and LeBron will be the five.
They can always go sign Mark Landsberger, but I think
– Chuck Nevitt.
Yeah, Chuck Nevitt. I think that the cap isn't round. I think that they could – I think they have a plan in place. We just, again, we don't know what that plan is.
What would you think the plan would be, Keith?
Because the plan is to roll. The plan is not go find a new guy. The plan is hope that what you have is good enough.
I would think that the plan would be to Anthony Davis got to play some five. Or we got to go JaVale, Anthony, and LeBron as our basic three bigs.
I mean, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something to have?
Did we lose LZ?
Yeah, sound like we're getting ready to lose LZ.
Let's put a fine point on it. If the Lakers don't have Dwight Howard, do they not win the championship? Is it linear that without Dwight,
it's certainly going to get tougher. The screws are going to tighten. It's going to put more pressure on Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and certainly do a lot more, play a lot more in the fourth quarter where they would normally probably get a few minutes. They probably have to stay on the floor then. It's just going to put more pressure on them.
Wouldn't it be incredible if we ended up in the finals in a crunch time situation and LeBron James has to follow in Magic Johnson's footsteps and play the five and then end up playing all five positions? Wouldn't that be remarkable? Like, if you think about it, he could do it. It's just the idea that, you know, if Dwight sits out, you got AD. If JaVale, you know, can't go or doesn't play well, or whatever the situation may be, they decide that, you know what, small ball is the best way to go, and they decide to start LeBron at the five, that would just be an absolutely incredible, incredible story in terms of leading this team to a championship if it were to come to that.
And it's another chapter in the LeBron book, right? I mean, what you just said it. When you start telling the Magic Johnson story, him playing center in the NBA Finals in place of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a chapter in the book. It's legendary. And all this, and LeBron has all these other chapters that are just extraordinary as well. But that would absolutely be it. That it, what is this? His 17th year in the league, that on his third championship run, on a third different team, his, would that be fifth championship overall, fourth championship overall. Oh, by the way, he decided to play center through the whole process because their number one center was unable to enter the bubble, and he won a championship in the pandemic playing a position he never played before. I mean, that's right near the front of the book again.
That would be remarkable to have the point guard do that. But again, like Magic Johnson, if
they'll
anyone can do it, it's him.
Ooh, they'll be hating on LeBron. Ooh, all the hate a bit, that flame will just turn up.
He didn't really play center.
He really, all he did was jump because he was taller and had more boost than he really, see, man. I love stuff like that, though. I love that hate. Hate is cold-blooded, boy. It shows reveal people.
You know, with the LeBron hate, it is so easy to dismiss. If you are a LeBron James hater, it's so easy to walk away from you because there's just no good reasons. There are other great players. For instance, how about this? If you are a Barry Bonds hater, you at least have a lane to camp out in.
That's only because of the steroids and he was mean.
Well, no, it's because of the steroids. It has nothing. If you are saying Barry Bonds' achievements are illegitimate, it is a reasonable position to take. That if you want to say that Barry Bonds is not one of the greatest players ever and here's why, it's reasonable. We can argue about whether you're right or not, but it's reasonable. You can't, there's no lane to stake out on LeBron James isn't one of the best ever or the best ever, and here's why. There's no legitimacy in the criticism of LeBron. It just does not exist.
But they try to manufacture it. One thing that I've learned throughout my professional or collegiate career, high school career, collegiate career, professional career as a football player, and now going on 14 years in post-career television and broadcasting, is people will manufacture the hate up just because they're jealous and they don't get it. They, you know, no matter what it is, they'll try to throw shade to create a hate in their own mind because they want to be you and they wish they were in your shoes. And I feel that way about a LeBron James. People wish they were in his shoes. They wish that they were LeBron James. So a lot of times people in their mind just say stuff because they can't be him. And that happens all the time, Travis. It happens all the time with people that are successful.
You know what's interesting is that you guys know yesterday I did my top 10 list of phenoms. And two things that kind of struck me looking at some of the comments that were made on the ESPN Los Angeles Facebook page. One, a lot of people don't know what the word phenoms mean as it comes to sports because they keep saying, what about Travis? The number of people who thought I was dissing Jordan, I was man, Pelé was winning the World Cup when Jordan was being cut from his high school team. What are you talking about? But that's not what the word phenom means. Anyway, that was one. But the other argument was people were saying that LeBron James shouldn't have been on the list. And I was like, wait a minute now. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated like at 15, 16 years old, has won on every level he's played at, and is on the top 10, top 5 in some of the most best categories in his sport. How is that not a phenom? And I was like, I'm not going to get sucked into this LeBron hate because anyone with the mentality who thinks LeBron James isn't one of the greatest young phenoms in sports history just hates LeBron James.
Yeah, if I know who you are before you've left high school, you're a phenom. If I know who you are when you're in middle school, forget about it. And if you're Tiger Woods and I know who you were when you're 6 years old hanging out with Bob Hope, That's a phenom.
Right. And I'm just like,
and at
you
the
know
end
what?
Of the day, it's I watched fine. LeBron. I watched LeBron James play in junior high, man. Physically, my own eyes. I saw him play in junior high. Okay, so, and I didn't see it on TV. I saw it sitting on the court. And at the end of the day, I went away and said, man, he's going to be one of the best. I didn't even think about the NBA. I just said, man, he's going to be the best player in college basketball when he get there.
He would have been.
And at the end of the day, you see where it's at. But people just don't, you know, people want to hate, man. That's how it go. It's just haters going to hate, LZ, you know. That's how
that's
it is.
True.
They want to be in your shoes. You're terrible right. on radio. You're this on that. That's what they're going to do, man.
We all want to get to the –
can't appease everyone.
We all want to get to the bar on time. We all want to get there early and have a good time. But this is taking it to a whole nother level. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Keyshawn's the leak. Keyshawn is the leak. I've confirmed it. He's the leak.
Man, Roger y'all always stop, man. Y'all got to stop, man. Y'all got to stop.
I'm always nervous, Raj, when you tell me you want to update the poll. It always feels like that's bad news for me.
No, of course you can go to the poll ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed, and the guys voted on – we had a snake trap on their favorite old-school cartoons. And the good news, Travis, is that you're not in last place. That spot's been reserved for Huckleberry Key. Huckleberry Key is in last place. But LZ is kind of running away with it with 53% of the vote. He covered a lot of demographics. He did some, you know, it sounds new school, but they're old school. South Park and The Simpsons are old school. They've been on for over 20 years. But he's in the lead with 53%. But you're still there, Travis. There's still a chance. You can still vote. And you can go to ESPN's Twitter feed, ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed, and cast your vote, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't like being in the middle. Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was my sleeper pick.
That was a good one.
I thought Beavis and Butthead would help me out because that's old school, but also something that I think a lot of people still remember very, very fondly. I thought that was a sneaky little one of four, but apparently not good enough. Better than Huckleberry Hound, but not maybe.
Huckleberry Hound. See, I like Huckleberry Hound. I just tried to pull that one out of nowhere, but I guess it didn't work.
It didn't work. But guys,
that's okay.
You are getting
I'm at the
of
top
flack.
Of the leaderboard.
You guys are
Doesn't
getting
matter.
A lot of flack on Twitter for not picking Tom and Jerry, who many consider the GOAT, at least
Can't
the greatest duo. Well, all of them are pretty good, all the cartoons, but they consider them the GOAT, and you guys didn't take Tom and Jerry, and I don't know, man. That was that could have put someone over
on,
the top.
I missed on the Tom and Jerry. I don't know how I missed on it.
It was a purposeful omission on my part, at least. I did not want to have another General Lee redo. I did not want to walk down that path again. I just decided that
you didn't
want to
let
someone else take Tom and Jerry.
You didn't want to General Lee and Roseanne with the mammy sitting in the
on standing on the chair, running away
standing
from
on,
the mouse.
Standing on a chair, sitting in the couch. Might as well went for the trifecta. Why not?
I guess that's another way of looking at it.
Why is ESPN so hung up on this conversation on the Twitters, or Instagram rather, between Tom Brady and Julian Edelman about Cam Newton?
Well, I already
said it's not that it's not that big of a deal.
It's a throwaway line.
I'm trying to tell you what it looked like. Y'all try to tell me no. And I'm trying to tell you that Brady looks like he's throwing shade toward Cam, but y'all say no.
But
I'm just
okay,
telling
let's,
you
just
why
so
they're fascinated,
knows.
Why people are fascinated with it.
Okay, but just so everybody knows what we're talking about, though, Key, that Julian Edelman put out a tweet that said something along the lines, he's excited about having Cam Newton get to work that, and then Tom Brady tweeted at Julian Edelman, oh, you know that I'll always be your favorite. That's not shade at Cam Newton.
No, I'll always be your number one.
Okay,
which
same
means,
difference.
That's the
which,
same
which,
thing.
Which, same difference.
I understand, but what people take from that in this world of the media and fans is that no matter what Cam does, they're taking that Julian Edelman, I made you. He will never be able to do what I did for you. That's
Boy,
how
you
got to
work
down.
Really hard to get
but
there
they,
for that.
But guess
you
what?
Work really
they,
hard.
Guess what? They, are they not working hard? Are they not working?
Just,
they got LZ talking about
like
it. It wasn't even part of our topical conversation today.
I wasn't.
Guess
I
what?
Wasn't talking about it. I literally said, "I can't believe they're talking about it." Is what
no,
I
no,
said.
No, I understand. I understand. I understand what you said, but it got you thinking. Why are they doing it? Because it's got their interest. Because Tom Brady said that with Cam Newton coming, it simply Brady didn't have to say nothing at all, right? If Brady says nothing at all, what happened? You don't think Julian Edelman's welcomed other players on the team before?
Exactly.
Of course he has. And Tom Brady's never said anything about that.
Are you sure?
I put it this way. If he did, it wasn't publicized like this is, because it's a story that needs to be made. It's news to the people that make this stuff up.
It's more of the latter than the former. It's more just making stuff up than actually news.
Look, I'm here to try to squint and come up with something because, you know, look, we got to have something to talk about. I get the game. I really, truly do get the game. There's no game here. This is two friends saying, hey, man, don't forget about me. You know, I'm over here. You still love me, right? That's all it is. There's nothing nefarious in it at all.
But that ain't the conversation. The conversation is Brady throwing shade. That's the conversation.
You know what this is like?
And I'm not even listening to it or looking at it or looking for it. I saw it, and I mentioned it to Raj, and Raj screaming, hi, and Cam Newton. But it's on every – people are talking about it.
Well, no, they're on television talking about it. That is true. It doesn't mean that it's news just because you're talking about it. We joke a lot that CNN says breaking news all the time, and ain't nothing broken. So it's not as if we don't have an opportunity to change our ideas or our thoughts. It just happens to be on TV. To me, it's a lot like, you know, your ex go ahead and get married to someone else and you just like the photos. Now, are you saying you're better than the husband or better than the wife? No, you're just liking the photo and you just keep it pushing.
I'm not going to like the photo, though. I ain't got nothing to do with you. You my ex. I ain't got nothing to do with you. I don't care about the photos or nothing you do. Well, I'm not
it all depends on how things
– I don't
care. It all depends on why
you're
ex.
In fact, I'm not following you. You don't need to follow me. And we don't communicate unless we got kids together. If we got kids together, then we can communicate. Outside of that, good luck to you, and I'm gone. That's
well, this is just a preview of what the entire NFL season is going to look like with regards to these two teams. Every time Cam Newton – throws a bad pass, it's going to be Tom Brady would have never done that. Every time Cam Newton takes off and makes a great play with his legs, it's going to be, ooh, that's what we never had with Tom Brady, that everything that Cam Newton does is going to be compared positively and negatively to Brady.
Absolutely. LZ, tell
yes,
me,
sir.
Man, you be stalking your exes on social media and liking pictures and stuff?
I don't stalk. But if I'm scrolling through and I have to see
something. Oh, you're scrolling through. Got it. You're just scrolling through. Oh, you don't follow them. You just happen.
No.
Oh, what do they, how do if they say, it shows up on my feed.
Yeah, if you stalk, that means you log on and you're looking for them. But if you're just rolling your fingers through passing the time and you happen to see a pic, you know, it's whatever. Mm. Because trust. It's a lot more pressure. It's a lot harder.
Yeah, you click on it. You click on it. You open it. I know what you do. You comment. You probably got a burner phone. You commenting on it.
Well, you
got
to be careful when you like those
nice
pictures.
Nice hair.
If it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it means a certain thing. If it's like in the middle of the day, not so bad.
How do you know, Travis?
In the afternoon.
Yeah, how do you know, Travis? If it's in the middle of the day, in the morning, and afternoon.
I've heard stories. I know how the game's played. I've never played it myself, but I've studied it from afar.
See, I've always thought that that.
Just because you're ex doesn't.
Me, I personally always thought that stuff was weird, man. There's nothing. I don't need to follow you. I don't need you communicating with me. If I see you at a restaurant, hi.
Just because you're an ex don't mean you ain't fired.
We're separated for a reason.
That don't mean you ain't fired, though. I mean, if you're thirst trapping, I'm still going to look.
Yeah, you're thirst trapping.
Whatever like, got your attention in the first place is probably still there, right? that doesn't necessarily disappear.
I ain't saying reminisce.
Tom Brady miss Julian Edelman in the New England Patriots?
For sure. That's coming for sure.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sure.
Crosstalk.
I got to get
George
you some help, LZ. You stalking on social media.
Next. All right, George, it's time for you to cast your vote. We have another snake draft this morning. Today's topic is our favorite retro cartoons. Okay?
Okay.
So whether it's Saturday morning or primetime cartoons or whatever it is, here's Team A. Scooby-Doo, the Super Friends, the Flintstones, and Beavis and Butthead. That's Team A.
That's good. That's good. That's good right there.
Team B is Bugs Bunny, The Simpsons, South Park, and Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Oh, well, that's even better.
Yeah, that's all right.
And then Team C is Popeye, Huckleberry Hound, The Jetsons, and The Pink Panther.
Ooh,
those are your three choices.
Big time classics.
Ooh. Give me Team A and B again. I'm eliminating C.
Okay, Team A.
You're not the only one.
Team A is Scooby-Doo, Super Friends, Flintstones, and Beavis and Butthead. Uh-huh. And team B is Bugs Bunny, The Simpsons, South Park, and Spider-Man.
Oh, team B.
That's the leader. That is LZ, and he is leading in the vote so far.
Yeah, I don't like George. Get him off the air.
What was your favorite as a kid, George? What was the one that you couldn't miss?
I mean, listen, when I was a little kid, Scooby-Doo was my favorite cartoon ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, as I grew older and started to learn about maybe what was going on in the Mystery Machine, you know what I'm saying? And,
yeah, there's some stuff.
You know, I felt like I enjoyed it even more, potentially. But that was my one. I liked all those. Bugs Bunny was fun, like, you know, when I was a little kid. And, you know, they had the Heckle and Jekyll cartoons there, too. You know, I know Key used to call Chris and Raj Heckle and Jekyll, so I remember
that. So you
that.
Didn't like Still spinach, does. I take it.
What's that?
You didn't like spinach growing up.
You know, Popeye was okay. Like, I watched it, but, yeah, I definitely didn't like spinach growing up. I didn't like spinach until I was probably, like, 30 years old.
Yeah. Did anybody?
I swear to you, I didn't like spinach for probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's everybody.
Yeah.
No 8-year-old likes spinach. That's never existed in the world.
Spinach is so nasty unless you – once I learned how to get it right, it's cool. But it's, other than that, as a kid, ugh.
Yeah. Once I learned how to build.
You know, the spinach we had, we got the frozen spinach out the box.
The brick.
That was so nasty.
Once I learned how to make warm wilted spinach with a little vinegar and stuff, then I was straight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Once I learned how to do it, but the spinach was – it's garbage.
It's kind of like Brussels sprouts. I didn't like Brussels sprouts as a kid. Now, you know, I go to a restaurant, I get Brussels sprouts all the time.
Yeah.
No, I can still skip those. You can have mine, George.
Do you stalk your exes on social media, George?
Do I stalk my exes? Not like Tom Brady. No, definitely not.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know, because there's a few guys that's on 710 ESPN radio out here in Los Angeles that
George?
Stalk their exes.
Well, Travis likes the X-ray vision, so maybe there is, you know, something like that. So.
George, well, then I don't need to stalk. I can just look.
Yeah, that's true.
I do not stalk. I am not stalking. Uh-huh. I just simply scroll through my old Facebook, and sometimes the people that were in the past are still on my thing, and the pictures just pop up in the feed.
See, I deleted my Facebook like 7 years ago because 7 years ago I'm like, what do I have this for? If there's anyone I want to know what they're up to, I can just text them. You know what I'm saying? Or call them or ask them to send me pictures of their kids. So, but I still have Instagram, so I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So I guess there's that.
it's a good source for reporting though too. I mean, it's a really good source of reporting.
You know what I love though the most out of everything, because I have the stuff, but I don't have it.
Right.
Is I love the excuses on why I have it. That people love to come up with why they have the social media. Oh, because I'm reporting and I need to, it's factual and I can do this. And it's like, it's the craziest thing ever. I can keep up with my family.
Keyshawn Joseph Johnson. We literally just had a conversation about Tom Brady and Julian Edelman talking about on Instagram. Are you really going to try and pretend as if it's not a source of reporting?
Yeah.
When there are whole TV segments.
Yeah. Instagram and Twitter are definitely reporting things. Like you can report off of those for sure.
One other important piece of information today, George. We all got to pick one meat to put on the grill for 4th of July. You only get one thing. You can't have multiple. You can have chicken. You can have pork. You can have beef. You can have something else if you want. The one selection to throw on the grill on Saturday afternoon for your 4th of July barbecue is?
Oh, it's steak. It's some sort of like ribeye, maybe a little skirt steak. You know what I'm saying? Like
Ooh,
something
you fancy.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that. Skirt steak. I just had some this weekend, actually. We threw that on the grill. You got to marinate that thing.
But hold on. When you say throw on the grill, did you follow me now, George? Follow me, George.
Yeah, yeah.
Did
yeah.
you go from Gelson's Pavilion's Whole Foods to the house to the grill and open the little styrofoam? Take the meat and slam it on the grill and throw salt and pepper on it?
No, I marinated that thing for a day.
Okay. Just want to make sure because Travis's
Stop.
People
no.
I intend to go straight from the store to the grill with a little salt and pepper. They don't do, you know, and then they turn the flames up high. Oh, they always want to high it. They don't want to cook it a certain. They want to
profiling.
No. We put there was the marinade was salt, was pepper, was garlic, was onion, garlic cloves, a little sour orange, a little lemon, a little lime.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I forgot you are a little Latin, so it depends on which George show up. Beach George, I'm concerned.
100% Cuban, but he's just a little Latin. Just a little.
Well, because George, I don't know. George can play it a lot of different ways. depending on what day. Right, George?
Key, you and I go, and LZ go way back. So there, I can, much like you at the country club,
yes.
I can, LZ, you know, in front of his political punditry friends, we can all shift and, you know, have to maneuver if we have to.
And you have to be that way in society.
You guys are all bad guys. This Honor Show is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow morning. The Morning Show, 710 ESPN.